Now, a community have come together indeed to support Crumlin Hospital, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But Maura Joyce, you spend more time in this studio than I am, I have to say. I'm surprised you didn't apply for me a job altogether there, altogether, Maura. The Laurenstown Get Active group are organising a 6K walk and run for Crumlin Children's Hospital.
That's right. So that's next Sunday, the 24th of March, and the walk starts at 1 o'clock. Registration is in Pardies in Laurenstown at 12:45. It's a 6K walk and run up as far as Redmond Hill and back again. And this is the group's seventh year to organise an event such as this. And again, this year we are supporting Crumlin Children's Heart Centre. It's a very worthwhile cause, so we hope we'll have a lot of people coming to take part in the event. Earlier in the day, may I just say that we have a cake sale starting at 10:30 in the community hall, and the proceeds of this goes towards Claire White, a local student nurse who's heading out to Tanzania this summer to do some voluntary work as well. So it'll be a busy day on Sunday in Laurenstown.
Well, stay with me because I want to see if I can link in with Katrina. Katrina, good morning to you. Katrina, can you hear me okay there? No, we'll try and get her on a different line altogether there, so we will. Again, Katrina's story is what has driven you to do this fundraising, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Katrina had a baby girl, Cara, 2 years ago, last November, December, I think, and she was born with a very serious heart defect. So they spent a lot of time in Crumlin. She had some two major operations as a new baby, and Katrina had to remain in Crumlin, and they stayed in the house provided for parents, which is a fantastic service as well.
Yeah.
But I'm delighted to say that Cara is doing really, really well.
Katrina should be there now. Katrina, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. We had you on more lines than the Taoiseach had yesterday when he was announcing his retirement.
Sorry about that.
No, that's not.
Thanks for having us on the show this morning.
Not at all. Listen, talk to me about this journey that you've been on. I know a lot of money's been raised, which I'm delighted for Crumlin Children's Hospital. And for a small community, the impact is just massive. And thank God she's doing well, though.
Yeah, Cara's doing fantastically well. And our community is amazing. From Laurenstown's climb for Crumlin last year, like, we raised an amazing over 10,600. And we have an amazing little village, which has given us huge support from family, friends, near and far. And we just want to say thanks, first of all, for the support. And that's why we want to give back to Crumlin again this year. And I suppose our story started when Cara was diagnosed with antenatally at the 22-week scan with a complex cardiac condition. And she's now 2 years old. But when she was diagnosed, we were referred to Crumlin. And I suppose from the very first visit we had with Crumlin, we felt we were being welcomed into a new family. Meeting the cardiologists, surgeons, nurses, and all the additional support staff, we felt we were being looked after in the best place by the experts. Cara has had two open heart surgeries, and she's done amazingly well. And her first surgery was at 4 days old, and her second at 3 months old. And we spent most of that time in Crumlin.
And we
had two little boys.
Two little boys. What was it like for you, though? I mean, you had the two little boys at home. I know you have a newborn, the 3 month old as well now.
A newborn baby. Well, I suppose when you're hit with it at first, when you've been told you have a child with a cardiac condition, I'm a nurse myself, a pediatric nurse. So you're fearing the worst, and you're going into a place where you don't know, like, I suppose being on the other side, you don't know what's going to happen next and how the story is going to play out. So the fear is unimaginable, I suppose. And then you have to come away from your children at home, and it's during COVID. It was just an experience we'll never forget, I suppose. But Crumlin just make you feel like you are coming into a new family, like their expertise make you feel like that you are your child has been looked after in the best hands that they can be. And they provide an amazing service, like, they're the best at what they do, and
absolutely.
But we're just so thankful.
I suppose in another way that you'd love not to have gone through it, but because you went
Absolutely.
Through it. And do you think being a nurse and being a cardiac nurse, I hope I don't ever meet you professionally, by the way, please God, but being a nurse, was that a good thing or a bad thing?
I suppose you have that extra knowledge and you have the fear of what could happen. That's the, I suppose, the hardest thing, that you know this could happen next or that could happen next. It's good to be an advocate for your child.
Yeah.
But I suppose I, as a nurse, detached myself from her and felt I was being her nurse and she wasn't my child, to protect myself, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it is very difficult to be in that position because you know so much, but you have to let the doctors and nurses do their thing and you have to believe in them. And they are amazing. And
we believed
in them and they've given us so much with Cara.
Come here, the two boys then, obviously your family and community then came around you, Catherine and Kilkenny.
Yeah. Well, we have an amazing community and our family, only for our family and our babysitter. John came home and he used to go to work at 5 a.m. and Jennifer, our babysitter, would come and she'd look after the boys. And the community were amazing, like our grandparents, neighbours, turning on and off lights, locking and closing doors. Our community are just amazing, only for them, and having peace of mind, knowing everyone was okay at home, you could concentrate on your very sick baby in Dublin. Without them, we would be, I don't know where we'd be today.
When you say John got up at 5, did he go to work at 5 o'clock in the morning so he could get home?
Yeah, so he starts work at 6, so he'd have to get up at 5 to get organised to go to work, and our babysitter would come in the morning at 5 to let him go to work, because we were in Crumlin for 3 months, the first 3 months of Cara's life.
But difficult for him not to be with you in Crumlin as well.
Yeah, well, I suppose he was there for all the big things, and he was there on the phone, at the end of the phone, and would come if needed at any time, and he was there all the time for me. But I suppose you have to get on with life and you have to get back to doing what you do. But I had good contacts in Crumlin also. I had great nursing friends. One of my best friends was one of the cardiothoracic nurses who was involved with the team who looked after Cara. So that was also a great support to me. And she'd keep me distracted if there was anything big going on.
And how's Cara doing? You know, she walking around the house.
Cara's doing amazingly. She's had her two open heart surgeries, and she requires another in maybe later this year or next year. But she is an amazing little girl, and she loves playing with her brothers. And she's the boss of the house, and she's just amazing. Like, for all she's been through, she's fantastic.
Good on her.
But without Crumlin, we wouldn't have her. So. We're so thankful.
And Maura, you're still sitting up to me. You're listening to that story, but you've lived that with Catherine as well.
Yeah, Catherine is our neighbour, and they went through a terrible time, so they did, and everybody rallied around and all helped and did all the little jobs that you wouldn't think of to make life that bit easier for them. But it was very, very tough on them. But they were wonderful parents, and Cara is just a gorgeous child. She's absolutely delightful, and only that, I know there's something wrong with her. Really, she's so active and intelligent and is a great speaker and knows everything. She's a super child.
Yeah.
So it's a great story, and again, the community all rallied around, and we have a great community.
Yeah, no, but it's a great story because it's come right.
And absolutely.
And I suppose I'd be conscious of other, with no disrespect to you, by the way, Catherine, I'd be very conscious of other parents that it didn't come right for her, that scan at 22 weeks and finding that out and continuing with the pregnancy and all that. Like, it's just to the others out there that aren't as lucky, we are thinking of you as well today.
Of course.
Come here to me now a second, Catherine. I've our microphone killed. What's Maura Joyce like to live next door to?
Oh, she's amazing.
Has she hoolies?
Has she
rave parties at night time? Is she, you know, the way she's dressed now, she's going line dancing by the looks of things, you know?
Well, she is full of energy. She's the most energetic woman that you'd know, and she is first to be involved in anything, or first to give a hand doing anything. She's an amazing neighbour to have. And without her, I'd look across and say, is Maura up yet? Could I send one or two across to her?
Five past five tomorrow
She's
morning.
She's amazing.
I'm over, yeah. Stay with me, Catriona, if you don't mind. So give me the details of getting active for Crumlin then, for Catriona, to help Catriona and the family indeed, but to help Crumlin and say thank you to them.
It's again happening, on Sunday, the 24th of March, this coming Sunday. And registration takes place at 12:45 in Parties in Ironstown in the village. And it's a 6K walk or a run up to the top of Redmount Hill and back down. And everybody is welcome, men, women and children. And there's no actual entry fee, but all donations will be very welcome on the day. And everything goes towards Crumlin Hospital through the...
Are you having a hooly afterwards?
Oh, sorry, there's courses, refreshments and parties afterwards. But of course.
You can't be leaving parties out like that now, because John will be ringing me, so he will say, why did you leave me out? Catriona, I wish you the very best of luck. How's the newborn, by the way?
The newborn is great. She just slots in and she's fantastic.
Is she a month old?
She's nearly 3 months old.
Nearly 3 months old. And has Maura done an overnight yet for you?
She's planning that soon.
I'll have yourself and John going on holidays within a week, so I will. Don't you worry about it.
It wouldn't have a good outcome, I'm afraid.
For you. Catriona, thank you for joining us. Maura, thank you for joining us as well.
Keith, just before I go, Keith, can I just say on my own behalf and behalf of the community and all the organisations, I would like to thank you for always accommodating us here in Galway Bay FM and wish you a very happy and long retirement, but above all, the health to enjoy it.
I'm surprised didn't apply for my job now. I mean, do you spend so much time in here? John Morley got in before you, so he did.
He's a little bit younger than me.
Just a few months in it. So
and a little bit taller.
All right, listen, thanks for joining us. Catriona, keep strong, and just to the family, mind them and just bring them in around you. Thanks for joining us, Maura, as well today. Quick commercial break. We're back just after these. We're going to the Connacht Tribune headlines next. Now, Dave O'Connell joins me on the line today. Dave, morning to you. How are you today?
I'm very well, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. Just turn the lights on, will you, somewhere, because it's awful dark over here, so it is. Listen, you have wall-to-wall coverage of all the parades, so you have to say, well done. A lot of work went into that.
Oh, a lot of work, and the beauty of photography and dedicated people. 6 pages of photos across the city and the county, hopefully capturing all of the colour of St. Patrick's Day, and there's plenty of it from Abinacmoy, Athenry, Ballinasloe, Carraroe, Gorch, Headford, Loughrea, Mycullen, Uchterard, Spittle, Tuam, and of course Galway City. We really got in as many places as we could. So the 6 pages dedicated to that, but there's also parade photographs scattered throughout the rest of the paper as well. So we're going green for the week that's in it.
Going green. Your lead story is a stark warning indeed from publicans and Councillor Joe Sheridan indeed on the cost of doing business. I mean, it's the figures are staggering.
The figures are staggering, and it's really the additional costs they'll face paying the national living wage. And the national living wage doesn't come in until 2026, but it's on the horizon. And obviously, this is something that pubs share with most businesses, but perhaps it's even more critical there given the additional difficulties the drinks trade has faced in recent years. As you say, the warning is from Councillor Joe Sheridan. In addition to being a councillor, obviously, he's the chairman of the Galway Vintners Federation in the county. And he says there will be widespread closures, and even in particular then an end to part-time bar work unless the government rolls out some form of state supports for pubs in order to counter this. He says that, you know, even though, as I said, the living wage, there's another 2 years to go before it comes in, or nearly, but he said that this would be the death knell for countless pubs. So as I say, the story's on the front page, and it's inside as well.
You also look at a seismic week in the political front, and it got more seismic as the day went on yesterday.
Well, didn't it just? Kieran Cannon went about 20 hours before the Taoiseach decided to stand down. But as they always say, all news is local. So our focus is less on the Taoiseach and more on Kieran Cannon. But it is a huge week of change here, because as one party is, we'll say, shedding representatives, the new Independent Ireland Party is accumulating them at a rate of knots, with councillors Declan Kelly, Noel Larkin already in this week, and Seamus Walsh now as well, as he was telling you on this. But one of the the things on the Kieran Cannon story that really interested me, that one of his reasons for taking this decision was what he called the toxicity in politics. And you know what? He's absolutely right. And we've been done that as the editorial on it, because people piling in on social media, just raining this abuse down on public reps without even having the courage to put their name to it. And as Kieran, you know Kieran for many years, and so do I, and he has no problem with the cut and thrust of interview or questions. But as he said, there's a world of difference between public scrutiny and personal abuse, particularly when it's people hiding behind their keyboards. So that's all that one. And I'll mention just one other political story, because Stephen Corrigan did a long piece with Helen Ugbo, who is running for the Labour Party in the City Council. But do you know what, Keith? I don't know if you know the story or read the story, but it's only that it is fantastic. And I think, you know, Helen came here back in 2005. She's overcome so much since, including the death of her husband. She works for the Galway Volunteer Centre. She's done her master's in family support. She's working on her PhD. She fosters kids, 32 of them since 2008. Honest to God, she is some woman for one woman, and her story is a page in today's Tribune as well.
Now, what else have you got for us today, Dave?
Loads in there. Sport deals with itself. Big weekend for the footballers. Big focus there on colleges as well. Lovely interview as well with Mary Costello ahead of her widely anticipated new book, Barcelona, Book of Short Stories, being launched this evening in Charlie Burns. And I mentioned a couple of other pieces. A lovely feature on Mick Cunnan, who repairs and restores old clocks in Ballinasloe. He clearly cherishes them. And this was recognised by, well, no less a judge than Judge Judy, who bought one for herself. And he tells that story. And just finally, my old friend and your old friend Johnny Doohan is writing a piece on finding hope through despair. And this started out as for the season that's in it coming up to Easter. But unfortunately, Johnny and his family need all of that themselves just now, because they're going through a very difficult time. Their son Ronan was seriously injured in a crash, and he's in hospital in Beaumont. And their family are, well, a bedside vigil is what they're at. So, look, I wouldn't have done this, only I told Johnny, and you know this because we spoke about it yesterday. Yeah. I told Johnny we would do it. And he asked, he was more than happy, delighted if we would do it. And he asked, most unusual request, Keith, I accept. He asked if we could play even a snatch of his great song, The Voyage, because, as he put it, Ronan has always been one of the most able contributors on our journey to the shores of the heart, as well as being part of the treasure that we found there. And, you know, we can only wish them all well on this really difficult journey as well.
And do you know what you'll do out there? I went and lit a candle from yesterday when you told me that on the way home. But if anybody out there has faith at all in the one, you just spare a prayer for Ronan and the family as well, that everything will work out for them. His young dad and everything. But there you go. Dave, our thoughts are with them. And we'll talk to you next week. So we will, Dave. But thanks to you for joining us.
Thanks, Keith. Appreciate it.
Have a good
and
safe week.
Determined not to fail. For the heart's treasures, together we set sail. With no maps to guide us, we steered our own course. We weathered the storms when the winds were gale force. Sat out the doldrums with patience and hope. Working together, we learned how to cope. Life is an ocean, but love is a boat. In troubled waters, it keeps us afloat.
That's so apt, so it is, with the journey that they're on themselves.
The voyage, there was just me and you.
Yeah, we'll play that again during the week, so The Voyage, Johnny Doohan. But please spare a prayer indeed for Johnny and his family, and for Ronan as well, his son, who's in a critical condition in Beaumont Hospital. Nora Corcoran sits opposite me from Galway Traveller Movement. Nora, good morning to you. How are you today?
Good morning, Keaton. Very, very good. Thank you for inviting me here today.
You're more than welcome. And we're looking at a subject matter, and you brought me in some reading material, so you have here. It's Time for Action Against Discrimination, and the Galway Traveller Movement have launched their anti-racism toolkit as well. A toolkit is a good idea for this. How do you get that message out there?
Okay, what we did was we sent a toolkit out to over 800 families in Galway City and County to obviously send that information out on how to challenge issues of racism, discrimination or hate speech and hate crime. I suppose we find out that Because it's often believed that Ireland's not a racist society. And the issue is that a lot of people aren't reporting issues of either hate speech, hate crime, or anti, you know what I mean?
Like yeah.
going to pubs or clubs or in hospitality. So this is why we felt we needed to do this toolkit to empower the community to go and challenge these issues.
And again, you look at what is racism and discrimination, and discrimination occurs when a person who's protected by the law, e.g. a traveller, is treated less favourably than another person will be treated in the same situation. And we've had so many people coming in from abroad that this whole toolkit could be used anywhere.
You know, it could be quite generic, you know what I mean?
It could be
quite generic right across the board, because, you know, racism doesn't discriminate. Can affect anybody, you know, whether when you know from any community, and I suppose with the traveller community, though, we find that they are the most discriminated community in Ireland, and so it's all about empowering the community to go forward and to challenge these episodes of risk, and within the toolkit there's the whole kind of direction of what to do, but it's also we've also examples of when people actually went out and challenged issues and, you know, they're having, you know, justice. So these victories are very important because it lets the community know that, yes, actually, could I do it? Yes, you can. And you're not alone. Because as well as that, we, even with the toolkit, we are still there to support the community and to help them, to advocate for them and to kind of direct them on to take up these cases.
And, I mean, discrimination is a very strong word, so it is. So what's fueling it?
Well, discrimination can affect anyone, whether, you know, even any, it can be gender discrimination, but this toolkit is more geared at racism. Racism,
okay.
You know, and the travellers are an ethnic minority. From the very beginning of the state, travellers have been victims of racism. And I would like to see that this toolkit, instead of turning a person into a victim, would turn a person into a survivor, you know, to say, like, I've gone out there, I've challenged it, I've called it out, and I've sought justice. Because there is, like, laws to protect, you know, a person or individual families against, you know, whether it's as a social, education, housing, through all the social terms, there is laws out there. The only issue with hate crime, that at the minute, there's no real laws out there. Yeah. And as we know, that has been pushed. So I do think that if you have been a victim of hate crime, and I would know examples of people who have, you know, and this is why we need, you know, the legislation to be enforced as well. And I think if we do document as much as possible, it might influence it.
But, like, we're talking about our own Indigenous people.
Well, I'm just telling you what the toolkit's all about
and I love the toolkit. But, I mean, they're our own Indigenous grouping that's been recognised by the government. And then, I mean, the racism just continues.
I think sometimes what happens, racism can get normalised. You know, it can get quite normalised. And within the traffic community, we can be conditioned to believe that's okay, but it's not okay. And that's what, and if you call it out, I think it will educate people as well. Because if there's misinformation or, you know, that misconceptions, that stereotype, that perpetuation, by having the tool, by calling it out, when people see the physical results, we hope, I would like to see, and GTM would like to see, the reduction of racism, you know, because nobody is born to discriminate, Keith. And if you look at social construction, it's what we see around us and what's perpetuated. That's what kind of, you know, leads to these episodes. So, like, you know, we're all human beings, you know, and I'd like to see that if people see it and understand it and understand about the culture and heritage, you know, we're not someone, you know, that we're there to, you kind of, we're there to try and live our lives as good as we can, to live, you know, to have our culture and heritage, but that can be discriminated against, and we need to kind of change that narrative, and hopefully this toolkit will help it.
And again, I mean, you've done this from a Gala Travel Movement point of view. Has this been done elsewhere in the country, or are you leading the charge on this?
I'd like to think we are. And you know what? I'd like to see them go to other traveller projects. But as you said earlier, this could be, you know, it could be a toolkit for other communities as well, that they could use it and direct them. Because some people might know that if you are, you want to call it out, that actually, if you're being a victim of discrimination, you actually go to the Workplace Relations Commission. Some people might know that. Some people might know that if it's physically and you're in socially, it's actually through the district court. So it's kind of guiding the person, the group, to these areas that, you know what, it saves up a lot of time as well.
Well, again, it's an education process, and it's to get the information out there to everybody and say, this is a crime.
And it's, you know, it needs to be challenged, and hopefully it'll influence the legislation as well to push for that hate crime.
So talk to me about, so you brought me in a whole lot. We need to talk about traveller mental health. You brought me that. You gave me all the other bits and pieces that are there as well. But the toolkit then itself, I mean, where can they get it?
Well, you see here, we can actually ring the Galway Traveller Movement or email us and we can send it out. So our details are at the back of the toolkit and it can be posted out to anybody anywhere in the world.
And it's very simple. It's very easy to read, so it is. You've taken the jargon out of it.
Yeah. It's done in layman's terms, you know. There's no need to be too academic. Just get it down there, you know. But I think it's very visual, you know. Sometimes if you're looking at guides and there's too much writing, you're like, you forget about it. But I love this one because it's quite visual, you know. And it does have the examples and it has the different kind of different areas of.
But it catches the eye once you open it and you're looking at it. I'm looking at it here, and it says, "What is racism? What is discrimination? What is a racist hate crime?" And then you take it, but it's very simple from there. So the Galway Traveller Movement are on 091-765-390 if you want to get further details there. That's 091-765-390 and they'll post it out to you from there. And again, will you be distributing this to schools, to universities, to right across?
Anywhere. At the minute, like, we have our campaign, our education campaign, which is Turn the Tide of Racism, because we see within the educational structure as well, there's examples of children who are still stuck at the back of the class with colouring books in this day and age. We see the reduced timetables. We see the fact that you know, students are kind of geared to early school even because of the whole kind of, I suppose, stereotypical attitude of travellers. So I do believe that it's important.
That's changing though now. I mean, that's changing. It's a lot more than going to college.
In some cases,
now.
It's not changing, Keith. And this is why this toolkit's important, because this is the problem that people think it's everywhere's fine. It's not, and that's why our campaign within the GTM is to say, look at travellers value education. Our students need that opportunity to have an equitable and equal education as other students. And I would say, from examples of my own family being segregated into a class full of travellers, and while the education was quite good, the situation wasn't, they were segregated again. And we still see some cases of that. And this is why this toolkit says to students, you are not alone. And if you look at the other narrative there that we brought you, that document, we talk about the students in Leaving Certs, the brown one there, Keith. The narrative document where students in Leaving Certs talk about their
This one
education.
Here, the Hearts of Traveller Group.
No, actually, sorry, it's another one there. It's the... And I hope I brought it in to you now, because it's in the car.
It's
another one, students. It's Turn to Try to Race Them. I actually have it in the car.
I have that outside.
Oh, perfect.
I got that.
Brilliant. Students. The narratives actually talk about mental health. I was actually part of that myself, where we talked about our mental health experiences and how we deal with it in our community. So they're just narratives and let people know about our experiences. Because, you know, a lot of the issue is a lot of people from the general society don't understand travellers. They don't understand our ways, our traditions. So this is why education is very, very important. And it does, I think, opens up positive communication.
Absolutely.
And hopefully reduces discrimination and racism.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, maybe months ago, this did, we had Dr. Hannah McGinley sitting in that very chair. So we did. And I know the Access programme is very good over in University of Galway and ATU as well. And it's really, I suppose, to give people confidence to go back into it and make a difference.
Well, I'm a further education student myself. I'm actually doing an online course at Trinity College at the minute, and I went back to education in 2018. And it's so important to kind of take that step as a mature traveller woman, you know. I was looking at myself and saying, why would, you know, this imposter syndrome, but going into education really gave me the I suppose it empowered me, and I would like to, and as obviously before I started with the Galway Traveller Movement, over 20 of my colleagues went through and did a level 7. So it is, once you step in there, you can actually influence your own peers and hopefully get them and young people to stay in school. But to say that, you know what, if you do leave school, there's opportunities for you to go back again.
Yeah. And, I mean, so you went back in 2018.
Yeah, I did.
And are you a different person now than you were in 2018?
I'm a different person, but I found that when I went back, obviously, you probably won't remember, back in 1999, I was Carer of the Year and you interviewed me. And from that, my lived experience of being a carer, I wanted to be a special needs assistant. So I worked in hospitality for 20 years and I left it and I said, you know what, this is, my daughter was growing up, she finished school, she was working. And I said, you know, this is my time now to go back to education. So I became a special needs assistant. But the sad thing was, I couldn't even get on the panel. I could not get on the panel. I know it was the whole story, but because I was a traveller, it really affected me. But then,
was it because you were a traveller?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know what I mean? And I couldn't, some of them didn't even answer me back, and some of them, sorry, this. And at the same time, Keith, when I was doing it, the government had said, well, you know what, there's a shortage of SNAs, So we've created more spaces. And here's Nora, having that lived experience, having gone and studied, and I literally got it done. But I was working in a creche for a year and a half as well. But my heart was as a carer, you know what I mean? Wanted to go back, a previous carer, but I couldn't. But then obviously I started working with Go Travel Movement and I went into community, you know. So I still kept working. But that kind of episode did affect me because what would get me is that you only need two modules to be a special needs assistant. So you're looking after children sometimes with severe, you know, assisted needs. So I would have looked after my children who had severe assisted. So I would have brought that lived experience in, that valuable, you know, experience, and I couldn't even get on it. So that was something that tells me we need to change this. And this is why this toolkit is so, so important, because you challenge issues like that, whether it's education, whether it's work. And again, we talk about work, and there's 80% of the general public said they wouldn't employ travellers, and it's like, this means all travellers won't work. Well, it's very difficult to work if you're being, you know, those barriers are in front of you. And I saw that myself, my own lived experience.
Listen, you're a wonderful person, so you're Nora Corcoran. And again, if you want to get further details, I'll give you the number again, and you can ring the Galway Traveller Movement on 091-765-390 and get further details from there. And again, just seek it out. Have it.
Yes.
Have it. Absolutely. Have it in the workplace. Yeah. Mm. After that, have it in the workplace. Mm. Have it at home. Have it. I really think that the young people coming up now have respect coming all the way up, so they have right across the board. But there's a cohort that needs to be changed.
Absolutely. And listen, thank you so much for having me here.
Nora, thank you for joining us, and apologies for coughing. I got a little tickle in my throat, so I did there. Thanks for joining us today. Quick commercial break, and we're back just after these. Further details can be had by popping into the Galway Traveller Movement if you want to on the Headford Road, or give them a ring on 091-765-390. Back just after these. Now, Nicky's is an Irish-owned company which is revolutionising the approach to menstrual management in sport, because a huge topic of conversation right across the place, and we've had it here on this programme, is keeping girls and women in sport, because periods should not be a reason for girls not to participate in sport. Ellie Loftus has brought Nicky's.com to us this morning. Good morning to you, Ellie. How are you today? Thanks for joining us. You've been quite a while working on this, you have.
Yeah, so 2.5 years, Keith, really, in development to get to the right exact product, because I'm a nurse by background and I'm also an athlete. So I would have a great understanding about what is needed in relation to period management in sport.
And again, it should not stop people in sport.
Yeah, absolutely not. Like, there is a huge dropout of young girls in particular when they come into puberty and they get their period for the first time. There's a huge dropout of girls from sport, and we have to try and prevent that, you know, from happening. And one of the big issues for them is the fear of leaks with periods in particular. Like, obviously there's a lot of other issues with period pain and all lots of different things, but the fear of period leaks is massive, especially with the young teen girls that I would work with and that I would coach as well.
So you brought a product, you brought underwear to the market, but you just didn't bring it to the market. You did a massive amount of research.
Massive amount of research, yeah, exactly. So real girls, real women wear our underwear first for, you know, a couple of months. So we know exactly what they can do. So these aren't something that you could buy in the high street. They're a specialised item with super absorbant. And the reason why we build them to be super absorbent is that the girls can wear them for a full match. You know, like, you know how you're on a GAA pitch, or you might be on a Camogie pitch, and you might be able to get access to a bathroom, for example, which would be an issue, that these last for the whole game. And especially for girls going, say, even to school, for example, they can wear them all day at school, especially for young girls that are too young for tampons, for example.
Yeah. I mean, really and truly, it's a difficult time, and it's to keep them in sport. And what's the reaction to them like?
It's huge, because, like, you know, the whole movement towards the navy shorts or the dark shorts, like, that was a move in the right direction. However, navy shorts don't do anything to prevent the fear of leaks.
Yeah.
Like, a leak is still going to happen. Yeah. So what I'm trying to do is stop the leak in the first place. Stop the fear of leaks for young girls.
So you're stopping at the source.
Stopping the source, exactly. Because these are absorbent and leak-proof. So they take about 8 to 10 tampons equivalent of absorbency. So it's huge absorbency. And as you can see, they're kind of cool. They're nice colours. They're pretty.
They
we actually do them in different colours. We also do them in the black as well for older women.
And can they be reused then on an ongoing basis?
That's the great thing about them. They're environmentally friendly. So it's just a quick rinse out, pop them in the washing machine with your other clothes, and just dry and ready to go again. So there's no plastics or nothing going into the environment.
It's quite an achievement.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And from a pricing point of view, then are they well priced?
Yeah, they're well priced. So obviously, a lot of work goes into the super absorbent, and they're not something, as I say, you can get in the high street. But some of our underwear ranges from 7 up to about 26 euro. But we also do period swimwear as well, which is really revolutionary.
Another problem.
Because girls are at 12, suddenly stopping their training, stopping going into swimming pools, not when they go on holidays, staying away from the pool, losing 5 days of their holidays. So that solves all of that, and that's the swimwear there. And we do period sports shorts as well.
Your website then is Nikkez, NikkeZe.com.
That's right,
Nikkez.com. To do with underwear.
Nikkez. You know how we used to all say, have you got your Nikkez? And then it's Nick and Ease, the ease of knickers. Yeah, that's where the name came from.
And so if they go on to NikkeZe.com, they can order and then you post from there.
Yeah, it's very quick. It's like out the same day, and they usually have them the following day if it's a weekday.
And okay, you're talking to me now today. How do you get the message out there that this is now there?
Yeah, it's kind of difficult because obviously, you know, it's not a well-known product in Ireland at all, the existence of it. But, you know, we're doing our very best, and it's great to be able to come onto a radio show because a lot of people need it, but they don't know it actually exists.
And, you know, it's more discussion, like a lot of things in life.
Yeah.
You know, we're in an awful bad country at discussing stuff that taboo that's out there.
Totally taboo,
It is changing.
It is changing, yeah, but it's taken a while because actually the same fears as I had as a young girl playing sport is actually the same fears that girls have nowadays as well. So there's a lot of work still to be done.
So the fear hasn't gone away.
The fear hasn't gone away. Fear of leaks. Like for a young girl to leak in front of her friends or at school or a sleepover or whatever is massive, you know, the psychological impact
of
that.
Changes their life.
And that's your first experience of a period, you know, that's not the way it should be. We should be more open about it. I know people don't want to talk about it, but it is something that happens to 51% of the population for 30 to 40 years of their lives.
So it should be talked about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really should be. Thank you for coming into us today. You're very good. So if they want to get further details, Ellie Loftus has developed Nikkez indeed. So N-I-C-K-E-Z-E, just I want to try and get that out there, .com, and get further details from there. Ellie, thanks for popping into us today. You're very good.
Thank you so much.
And keep in contact. And keep up the good work, by the way. And I hope even sporting clubs come along and get in contact with you and just get involved in this.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great because I'm a sports person, as I say, and I understand it very well for what the challenges are like for girls.
Yeah. Keep up the good work and thanks for popping into us today, and the very best of luck to you, and thanks for popping into
thanks
us
so
today.
Much.
Further details can be had from NikkeZe.com for further details from there.
Pet Talk with Pet Mania. Well Park Retail Park Galway. Leading the way in pet health, grooming and nutrition. Petmania.ie.
Now let me go to Emily Miller, who joins me on the line today. Emily, morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm scratching myself here. Come here to how in the name of all that's good and holy do you spot fleas on your cat or your dog, and how do you get rid of them, by the way?
Oh, I suppose getting rid of them is kind of tricky, so the best thing to do is try and stop them from latching on in the first place. So fleas are nasty little parasites, and as we start to enter into warmer weather, they'll start to multiply in populations. So we're kind of starting at the early days, not quite there yet, but flea season is rapidly approaching, and it can be quite tricky for our dogs and cats. So I suppose we wanted to chat today just about trying to prevent them and how to know if maybe your dog or cat might have them.
Without knowing what to look for, Emily, is there something that they can do in the washing of the dog and or otherwise to prevent the dog getting them? And is there any way of identifying it then once they think that the dog has got a bit lethargic and or otherwise, that they may have fleas, and then treat them?
Well, look, I suppose the big sign for fleas is scratching. And, you know, so if your dog or cat is scratching more than usual, you kind of go, okay, right, there's something. It's normally a good signifier that there's something wrong. And at that stage, then you want to really look closely. These guys are small. They're small and they're fast. So looking around the tail, the back of the neck, in under the collar, in around the groin and the belly area, or the backs of the legs, are places that they like to take root and nest. So having a good look in there, you might see traces of flea dirt, which would be little black spots that you could see. And then also looking around where your pet sleeps, on your furniture, on their beds, you know, you might see signs of those, the larvae or that flea dirt. And you know, if you're looking for eggs, they're little white oval shaped eggs that you might see. And that's what you're looking for if you're looking for fleas. But the first sign is that your dog or cat is scratching a lot. And unfortunately with fleas is they don't keep themselves to your pet. They also like to take root in sofas and pillows and dog beds and car seats. And so if your pet does get them, you're now into, I now need to treat not just my pet, but also treat my whole house. Wow. to try and get rid of them. So prevention is definitely better.
You're telling me that the fleas travel then, do they?
They do. They like to jump. So they can't fly, but they can jump up to about 18 centimetres. So, you know, that's quite a distance. And they, like I said, they can survive off of an animal. So they can survive and live in carpets and soft furnishings and upholstery, okay, as well as in your dog's hair or your cat's hair. And they also like to nibble on humans just as much as they like to nibble on dogs and cats. So,
Dave, if a fella lands on me, he'll have a feed, so you will. Listen, if they want to get further details on this, they can pop into any of your colleagues in Petmania there in Wellpark.
That's it. And the best thing to do is to prevent it. They're very easy to prevent, so you can buy a spot-on treatment that you drop on. They normally last about four weeks, and you do it every 4 weeks, and it'll stop them from taking hold. And that really is the best case. And if you do find that your dog or your cat has had fleas, we do have all the kits, everything in store as well that you might need to get rid of them, not just from the dog, but from the house as well.
Emily, I'm off for a scratch. Thanks for joining us today. Emily Miller from Pet Talks. Thanks you indeed for joining us from Petmania today on the programme. I'm off for a scratch. Talk to you after news.
Galway Bay FM's Pet Talk with Petmania. Wellpark Retail Park, the home of pet care in Galway. 091 761 638.